Well, as you can see from the screen, title of my message, To Our Single Saints. Not long ago, I spoke to the marrieds, a couple of times actually. And it was in my heart, and has been for some time, to also speak to our single saints. So you look good, everyone, and I'm looking out among us now, and I see some dear single saints right here in this room. But yeah, hey there, church. Have you ever wondered what God has to say about not getting married and staying single? Well, I'd like to briefly explore that with you this morning from the scriptures. And let me begin by saying that, you know, the truth is, each single person will have a different experience. For example, among singles, there are age differences. I mean, being single at 20 is different than being single at 30 or 40 or even 70. Isn't that true? Yeah. And there are circumstantial differences. In other words, some are singles because they have simply never married, while others are divorcees, or they're widows or widowers, right? And then there are experiential differences. And what I mean here is some have actually chosen to be single and are basically content. Others long to be married and are living with a great deal of frustration because that hasn't happened yet. And sometimes they feel very lonely and even out of place. And you know, I think a lot of that is due to so much in our society being structured around couples. It's often just assumed that adults will have a partner, and it's sometimes considered a bit unusual if they don't for any significant period of time. Well, yes, dear ones, I'd like to share with you this morning some insights from Scripture and Christian counselors on this topic. And saints, here's what I want to say. No matter what our status, I believe that the Lord will speak to us through His Word today. All right? Can you agree with me in that? All right, Christian single, I see you. Now, I'd like to begin by directing us to the first of our insights, which we hear from the lips of our Lord Jesus Himself. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 12. And this version words it this way. This is Jesus speaking. There are different reasons why some don't marry. Some were born without the ability to produce children. Others were made that way later in life. Others stay single in order to serve God better. Anyone who can accept this teaching should do so. And this version, semi-paraphrase, says it this way, that Jesus said, marriage isn't for everyone. Some from birth seemingly never give marriage a thought. Others never get asked or accepted. And yes, some decide not to get married for kingdom reasons. Now, church, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. All right, so dear ones, in regard to marriage and singleness, in these two opening verses here, I'm hearing our Lord Jesus succinctly. Somebody say with me, succinctly. I like that word. Succinctly inferring that in God's eyes, being single is just as valid and can be equally as fulfilling as being married. Did you also hear perhaps an inference of that in his words? All right, now, church, when it comes to marriage, it's important to remember that although divorce was allowed in the Old Testament, it's not what God originally intended. No, it's God's design for couples to commit to each other from the start and then to build their marriage on mutual love and respect. However, having said that, there are also many good reasons for not getting married at all. Yeah. And I hear our Lord Jesus saying in Matthew here that not everyone is meant to be married. It may not be the majority of people, sure, but there is a certain segment of folks. Their calling, it's not meant for them to be married. And the Lord delineated some of it. He said, yes, some people may have physical limitations that prevent them from getting married. Or others, it's a vocational choice. They just feel called to serve God better as a single person, they believe, than as if they were married. But I want you to really realize the high state of someone being unmarried, in that it's been a choice and a calling for many notable people, particularly in Scripture, beginning first and foremost with our very Lord and Savior himself, Jesus. Are you with me? Yeah. And then his cousin who introduced him, John the Baptist. John the Baptist never married. He was single. The widow Anna, who welcomed baby Jesus when he was brought to the temple by his parents. She was single. The great prophet Daniel was single. The great prophet Jeremiah was single. The prophet that is regarded by our Hebrew spiritual forefathers as being one of the most powerful in the history of the nation, Elijah, was unmarried. He was single. And then Jesus' contemporaries, Mary and Martha, two sisters who were single. Miriam, who was Moses' sister, she was single. Dorcas, Lydia, the four unmarried daughters of Philip. I mean, this is just naming a handful of people. Even the Apostle Paul was either single or widowed. We don't know which, but we just know he wasn't married, especially at the time he was writing all of his New Testament letters and when he was serving Christ as an apostle. Okay, so folks, I'm just pointing out here, it's important to remember that not everyone is meant to get married, and that's okay. Somebody say with me, that's okay. Yeah. But what I would say is before making any big decisions either way, you and I need to make sure to pray and seek God's will. Our Lord Jesus wasn't telling us to avoid marriage just because it's inconvenient or it takes away our freedom. No, because to do that would be selfish, really. But sometimes being single is the best and even unselfish choice for some of God's children. Now, can you freely say amen to that? Okay. All right, good. Having established that, though, then, church, another insight regarding what God has to say about singleness comes from the divinely anointed pen of the single apostle, the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 7, 6 to 7. Oh, I wanted to show you a picture of Jesus there. Jesus the single. Here's what Paul had to say. Paul says, I'm not saying you must marry, but you certainly may if you wish. I actually wish everyone could get along without marrying, just as I do. But we are not all the same. God gives some the gift of a husband or wife, and others he gives the gift of being able to stay happily unmarried. I liked how it said it in this version. Paul said, sometimes I wish everyone were single like me. A simpler life in many ways. But celibacy is not for everyone any more than marriage is. God gives the gift of the single life to some, the gift of the married life to others. All right. Wow. Good text. Dear ones, in regard to marriage and singleness, I'm hearing God's heart and his plan in these words that... Well, let's read this together. God has blessed us with two incredible gifts, the gift of marriage and the gift of singleness. Yeah. Did you hear that in Paul's words with me? Uh-huh. Yeah, everyone, it's pretty amazing how God has given us these two incredible gifts when you think about it. And you know what? Neither one is morally better than the other one. No, they both have their own unique value and they play a role in accomplishing God's purposes. Because, I mean, yes, there are really just two alternatives from a biblical perspective. One being what I want to call celibate singleness. Will you say that with me, please? Celibate singleness. Yeah. Now, friends, regarding this, Christopher Yuan, a transformed believer whose past includes gay prostitution, says that celibacy is a choice, but singleness is each person's origin and destiny. Here's what he wrote. He said, some people are called to celibacy, but everyone was single at birth, is single through their childhood and young adult years, and in the end will be single in heaven. You hear a lot of singleness going on in there? Yeah. He said, now, celibacy, though, is a commitment. Singleness is simply a state of being. He says some Christ followers are called to celibacy as a vocation, but all single believers are called to chastity. Okay? So, celibate singleness. And the other alternative, of course, is, biblically speaking, monogamous marriage. Will you say that with me? Monogamous marriage. Yes, dear ones. We are called to sexual abstinence in singleness and sexual fidelity in marriage. So, let me see if I can bring this all together in a statement here. And I want to read it this way. The only thing more radical in our culture than a man and woman exclusively committed to one another in the covenant of marriage is a single man or woman living for the good of others and the glory of God as a celibate Christian. Are you hearing this? Those two things are radical in our culture right now, if you have not noticed. You want to be countercultural? Become a Christian. Yeah, because this is radical living right now. I'm a radical. People look at us and they don't see that, but we are radicals. All right. And saints, this is why it's really important for us to embrace and accept whatever situation we find ourselves in at the moment. In other words, if you're married, embrace it. You know, don't fight against it. Don't be questioning it. Embrace it. If you're single, embrace that too. Now look, I realize that my saying that in that way might not be easy for someone to receive. Because you may say, but what if I don't think I have the gift of singleness? I don't find it easy being on my own, and I long to marry. Does that mean I'm not embracing my situation? And I would say, no, not necessarily. My brother or sister, when Paul speaks of singleness as a gift, he isn't speaking here of a particular ability of some people to somehow find a way to be contentedly single. No, rather, again, I say, he's speaking of just simply the state of being single. And he's saying, as long as you're in that state, you have that status, see it as a gift from God, just like marriage will be a gift, that status, if you ever receive it. The point is that you and I should embrace our present situation in life, whether it is singleness or marriage, because we believe God is active and sovereignly working in our lives, and this status at this moment is his gift to us. Are you with me? Okay. And if in God's plan and purpose that is to change, then we're going to be praying that he would initiate and help bring about those changes. By the way, when Paul mentioned that he wished everyone could be unmarried like him, he was simply expressing his desire for more people to fully dedicate themselves to serving God without the added responsibilities and concerns that come with having a spouse and family, just like Paul had done. In other words, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says that there are some definite advantages to singleness. When you're single, sometimes you go, I need to hear this. There are some definite advantages to singleness. For example, Paul says it very clearly, and almost astonishingly in some people's minds. Paul says single people are spared the troubles of marriage. And how many of you know that while there are obviously many great blessings in marriage, there are real difficulties too? It's true. I mean, we wouldn't have so many marriage and family therapists out there. And we wouldn't have, you know, so many visits to divorce courts if it wasn't true that there's real difficulties in being married. There are some real challenges. But of course, there's great blessings. And so you have to be honest about both things. Yeah, and the other thing is, and I mean, understandably, Christian couples don't often talk openly about the hard things they face. And so that can give onlooking singles a rose-tinted view of marriage. It looks like the grass is greener in the world of the married. You know what I'm saying? But you've also got to remember what author and columnist Irma Bombeck said. The grass is always greener over the septic tank. So, you know, you just got to keep everything in perspective is what I'm saying. So sometimes singles look on and say, it seems like bliss. Wedded bliss is what I seek. Well, there's a lot of blessing in marriage. I mean, I've been married. Okay, honey, don't. Yeah, Exactly. You got it right. I was just waiting for you to see if you got it. 44 years. There's a lot of blessings in marriage, no question. But we've been through a lot of our tests and trials too. Still go through them. Yeah, and that's what Paul was trying to get at here. We're talking about advantages of being single, right? Well, yeah, there is a downside even when a married couple's relationship is good. Life just generally is a bit more complicated. Sure, there's more than one person to consider in decisions about the use of time, about the use of money, about your accommodations, in other words, where you live, holidays, man, even down to the daily menu. And there's always more than one person to worry about. And then often there's children and grandchildren who, of course, bring lots of great pleasure. I'm enjoying my little almost one-year-old granddaughter. She comes over and sees us a lot. And she just brought us and brings us so much pleasure, but the little darling has had this propensity to fall on her head a number of times. They now have gotten her a little helmet. And I'm telling you, it's caused some real anxiety too. You know what I'm saying? Because there's been some real big owies that were scary owies that had to go to the hospital owie type things to make sure everything was A-okay, and it is and was, but you know what? I'm just saying that even in something like that, you know, there's anxieties when something happens to our kids or grandkids. I mean, these things are part of the reality. Paul's right. Marriage does bring many challenges in this life. And Paul just said, you know, for some of you, I just want to spare you that. I find that interesting. But hey, I just want to make sure I don't leave anybody twisted up here. Paul wasn't criticizing marriage at all. I mean, Paul certainly, if anyone knew, Paul knew that marriage was God's way of providing companionship and for the ensuring that the earth is populated. Paul understood that. And he also understood how marriage was a tremendous, he's the one apostle that had the great revelation in Ephesians 5 that the marriage is a symbol of Christ's relationship with the church. So please don't misunderstand me here. I just love Paul's honesty. I just love the practicality of what he's saying. And so the bottom line is, so both marriage and singleness have their own special place in God's grand plan. But saints, I submit to you that another insight regarding what God has to say about singleness is found also in our 1 Corinthians text. And we read it in 1 Corinthians 7:32 to 34, where Paul says this, "Yes, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life." And he says here, "An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. And in the same way, a woman who is no longer married or who has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband." All right, so you're hearing this with me, everyone. Single Christians can devote themselves more fully to God's work. Single Christians can devote themselves more fully to God's work. And as we touched on briefly before, Paul elucidates one of the main reasons. The vital part of the Christian's responsibility of being married is to care for their spouse and children. In fact, the apostle will say in one point that that is the primary responsibility if you're married, right? To care for your spouse and your children. And anyone who doesn't do that, he says you've actually been in denial of the faith. If you're not caring for your spouse and children, you're denying the faith. And that, understandably, if you're going to do it right, to cherish and nourish your family, it takes time. Time that cannot therefore be spent out maybe witnessing to people for Jesus, going on the mission trip, helping out teaching Sunday school. It means you don't have the time to lead a Bible study or help with other church caring ministries or outreaches. Yeah, because you're putting your responsibilities and priorities first, and those other things are important, but they just kind of have to come behind that next. It's just a fact that single saints have more time to give to these types of activities. Now, that doesn't mean that marriage should shovel it all on them. It just means that we recognize that somehow in the way God's economy works, that because raising spouses and families is super important, families, that is a work of priority in God's mind, but also the building up of the body of Christ, the church, is a priority, that God gives people the time and the space to do the job well both. Are you with me? Yeah. Single saints have that time. And I mean, listen, it's no coincidence that many activities in church life depend to a large extent on those who are not married. And we see that very much here in our church family at the River. And I want to say thank you to our singles, those of you who give of yourselves in this way. Thank you so much. You're making up for what some of others of us aren't able to do, or we're not finding the space or the grace yet to do. And I want to tell you, it's greatly appreciated. The Lord sees it, but I want you to know I see it too. Single Christian, I see you. The Lord sees you. But I also want you to think about this. Did you know, in fact, that there are some single Christians who do consciously choose to stay single, to devote themselves to Christian work? I want you to understand, it's not that being available to do extra Christian work is just sort of like a consolation prize for being a single. No, there are people that go, no, it's not a consolation prize because I've just got a little extra time because I'm not married, unfortunately. And so, yeah, I guess I'll chip in a little extra in the house of God. No, there are people that deliberately see their singleness at this season in life, embrace it, and say, this is God's moment for me, and I'm going to give myself to this with some gusto. You see? I choose to devote myself to the work. And look, I'm going to be honest. While it's true that being single is not a choice that most people consciously or even intentionally make, I admit that. That doesn't mean that those people still can't enjoy the same benefits as those who have made that choice. They can. So I'm just suggesting to you that instead of dwelling on the challenges that come with being single, let's shift our focus and embrace the incredible advantages that God's gift of singleness brings into our lives in terms of making a difference and serving. Yeah, if we're single, it's time to make the most of this unique season for Christ while we have it. But everyone, in regard to marriage and singleness, I'm also hearing something very important in these words from the book of Beginnings, all the way back in Genesis 2:18. It said, then the Lord said to the members of the Trinity, the creative Godhead, he said, it's not good for the man to be alone after he had created Adam. I'm going to make a helper who is just right for him. But read that with me, underlined portion. It's not good for the man to be alone. Not good for the woman either. The implication here, church, is this. When that situation of a helper not being present is a reality in someone's life, single Christians need to accept that singleness is sometimes hard. Single Christians need to accept that singleness is sometimes hard. Yeah, because we learn here from the book of Genesis that Eve was created to meet Adam's need for companionship, and those two came together in the lifelong physical intimacy of marriage. And even though, as we've just seen, the New Testament is very positive about celibate singleness, there's no doubt that marriage is still regarded as the norm for most of us. It's God's loving gift to humanity and the main context in which our human desire for the closest of intimacy is met. And so single people are therefore, because they don't have that proximity to another soul in that kind of intimacy, single people are therefore likely to struggle with loneliness and sexual temptation. That is simply a fact, and it's understandable. And no, those struggles are certainly not exclusive to the unmarried, but they are a very big part of the single condition. And so in response, some singles will be motivated to ease those struggles by simply getting married. Okay, they just say, look, I need that, the loneliness, the sexual temptation. I need to find somebody. I got to get married. There will be others that, despite that, choose either not to marry, or they will feel unable to marry because of their circumstances, because of their personality, because of the level of sexual attraction. And then there's others who will try to have it kind of both ways. They will opt to stay single, but enter into a cohabiting relationship with a significant other of the opposite sex. Are you with me on this? It's trying to have it a little bit both ways there. And this is where it can become very challenging, folks. Yes, the bottom line is that if we're singles in this category, we're likely to face a lifelong battle with loneliness and sexual temptation. And actually, friends, those two battles are very closely related. And I mean, it's totally understandable. The lonelier we are, the more likely we are to struggle with sexual fantasy and to fall into sin. And so we need to be proactive in seeking help in managing these areas of loneliness and our sexuality. If we need help in the form of godly counseling and strategies. My dear single brother or sister, please always remember that you are not alone in your struggles and that there are others who do understand what you're going through as you're trying to remain a faithful single saint to the Lord. And also, please know that your feelings are valid and that it really is okay to seek help and support from others during these times. Because here's the bottom line. Just because we're single Christians, that doesn't mean we're designed to be on our own. Please hear this. And if we aren't to be married, whether in the short or long term, we should seek to satisfy our need for intimacy in other godly relationships that are non-marital. Friendships, brother and sister in Christ, body of Christ types of relationships. But that means taking the initiative in keeping in close contact with friends and family. And we must be self-disciplined in fleeing from sexual immorality. Got to run from it. Which is why I say that it often helps to have one or two close friends to whom we are accountable in this area. Some brothers or sisters in the Lord where we can talk about our temptations and talk about our loneliness, talk about our struggles. And they're going to understand and support us and pray for us. But having a faith-filled mindset is so necessary to doing well in this. This woman right here, Deborah Hirsch, that you see on the screen. Deborah Hirsch experienced a dramatic conversion to faith in Jesus after a life of drug abuse and sex with both men and women. She now holds a traditional view of sexuality, but she's invested herself in ministry to people on the margins of the Christian faith, including those who are gay. Hirsch writes, "I am thankful that Jesus was a single man, because in him we find the redemption of celibacy, and therefore of singleness. And as many of my dear friends, both gay and straight, are walking the celibate path, this gives them a deeper insight and appreciation of what Jesus experienced." She says, Stephen R. Holmes is quoted as saying, "To prove that sexual activity is not necessary to a well-lived life, we need to say only one word, Jesus." Let me say that again. To prove that sexual activity is not necessary to a well-lived life, we need only to say one word, Jesus. Yeah. As a case in point, the late noted pastor Eugene Peterson once shared a story about a completely unchurched young woman who started attending his church and made a genuine commitment to follow Jesus. In the ensuing months, she presented herself for baptism, and she started growing as a disciple. She was studying scripture and attending worship services. He said, quote, "She was embracing everything readily and gladly." But there was one thing that puzzled Pastor Peterson. The young woman continued to live with her boyfriend, as she had done for years. And she was uninterested in marriage. Then Peterson shared the rest of the story. He says, "She told me all of this without apology and not as a confession, but quite casually as we were getting acquainted with one another. I wondered if I should say anything. Surely she knew that the Christian way had some sexual implications for the way you lived. She was in church each Sunday. I assumed that she would eventually notice. I waited for her to bring up the subject. One day on impulse, I just said, 'We've been having these conversations for 7 months. Astrid, would you do something for me?' 'Sure, what is it?' 'Live celibate for the next 6 months.' Surprised, she said, 'Why would I do that?' 'Trust me, I think it's important.' He says, well, I learned later that her boyfriend moved out before the week was over. A month later, when she came to see me, she didn't even mention it. But the following month, she brought it up. 'When you asked me to live celibate for 6 months, I had no idea what you were up to. You asked me to trust you, and so I did. It's been 2 months now, and I think I understand what you were doing. I feel so free. I've never felt so myself before, never felt so at home with myself. I thought everybody did what I was doing. All my friends did. I just thought this was the American way. And now I'm noticing so many other things about my relations with others. They seem so much more clean and whole, so uncluttered. And you know what? I have been thinking that I might want to get married someday. Thank you." He says, well, Astrid's celibacy decision survived the 6-month mark, and continued for 2 more years, at which time she and her fiancé exchanged vows, and I blessed their Christian marriage. Wow, that's an inspiring story in her particular case, don't you think? Yeah. But everyone, the final insight from the word regarding marriage and singleness is the welcome news that, say it with me, no Christian is single forever. Now that's right, dear friends. Being single doesn't mean it's going to last forever for we who are the children of God. No. Some among us who are single right now will, like Astrid, eventually find someone and get married. There's some right here in this room right now that's just happening for you right now. But even if you or I stay single throughout our lives, that doesn't mean we will be single forever in God's eyes. Because, church, you see, human marriage is just a reflection of the amazing marriage that God wants to have with his people for all eternity. Amen. That's right. Oh, look at that piece of artwork. That's right. The Bible talks about Jesus as the bridegroom who will come back one day to take his bride, which is you and me as his church. He's going to take us to be together in a perfect new creation with him. A marriage. The marriage of all marriages. All of us joined with the Lord in a very unique way. And let me tell you, on that day, all the pain we've experienced, whether it's from a tough marriage or the challenge of being single, that pain's just going to disappear. God's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there will be this incredible marriage celebration. Scripture tells us in the book of Revelation that we'll be shouting with joy, saying, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to God. The wedding of the Lamb is here, and his bride is definitely ready." We're definitely ready. This is the relationship we were longing and made for. And all of our earthly relationships are only a very slight testimony and foretaste of this glorious relationship with Jesus that we will all share and have. How amazing is it? We can't get our minds around it now. It's okay to say that. It's amazing. We all have this hope for the future, my friends. And you know what? We can actually start experiencing a taste of that intimate marriage with Christ right here on the earth. And it's all because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Please don't get me wrong. Human relationships are important, but nothing compares with our eternal relationship with Jesus. That's the one that truly matters. Amen. Amen. All right, well, my brother or sister, I pray that you've gained some insights this morning regarding what Scripture has to say about not getting married and staying single. So again, dear one, somebody online, single online, yeah, I say to you, whether you choose to walk down the aisle or embrace the single life, remember that both paths are equally valuable and meaningful before God. Each path has its own unique challenges and blessings, and it's up to you to embrace whichever one you feel called to by the Lord. But always, please remember and know that whether you're happily married or contentedly single, you are loved and valued by God just the way you are. So embrace the gift that God has given you and live your life to the fullest in Christ. And to those of you who are married, I was saying to someone the other day, I said, you know, sometimes it's easy after you've been married for a long time to forget about when you were single. Forget about the single days. I want to remind us, those of us who are married, I urge you not to view singleness as being a second best or B-team status for others. No, please always remember that our church family is the whole church, and there should be no lonely people here in our church. We need to be opening up our homes and our lives to one another and relating to one another. Not just in the nuclear family, but in the whole church family. Keep your eyes fixed on heaven Human marriage is very important, but it's not going to last forever. Our eternal relationship with Christ and his body, our brothers and sisters, that's a priority. So, listen, I'm asking you in a moment to commit to live out these truths. We're going to do it together in prayer. But first, I want us to be re-inspired by the gospel version of this well-known pop song, because I think it speaks to the hearts and what we've been talking about today. That's great. I'm so glad that Dan Peek redid that song after he became a Christian. You know, we just come to you, Lord, today. And we thank you for the opportunity to represent ourselves, whether we're single or whether we're married. Lord, we've heard these truths today, and we want to commit ourselves to walking in them. I pray for every single here today, Lord, and those watching online, that they would feel encouraged and strengthened, validated and blessed, enriched and filled with hope, and Lord, embracing this state where they're at right now, knowing that we honor them, you honor them. We pray for all the unique trials and struggles that go with being single. Help us, Lord, to see them encouraged, strengthened, honor them for the work, the love that's shown. We pray for your presence to be copious in their lives, the friend who sticks closer than a brother. But also, Lord, we would be wanting our presence to be involved in their lives too. In our love, thoughts, prayers, outreach, interactions, connections. Jesus, you lived among us and showed us the way. We need your power and help to live out the single life. That's hopeful for everyone when we say, the Lord's there, he knows what it's about. So, Lord, you can help us by the power of your Holy Spirit inside of us. And we thank you, Lord, for being our source. And I just pray, Lord, that love will be filling every heart today, the love of God and Jesus. And that, Lord Jesus, we will just know how deeply cared for we are by God through Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand with me now for a blessing. Thank you for letting me share these things with you today. I want to tell you before we go, always the prayer ministry is up here, okay? So any prayer need that you have, come for prayer. I think there's some lunch in the back there today. Is this Fellowship Sunday? Well, it's the Lord's table, and it's the Tahoe table too. Of course, this one had precedence, and rightly so, but we're going to extend it into an actual food blessing back there. So make your way to the back and have some good eats and fellowship, and maybe say hi to a single. Is there any signups that we need to point out today? Guatemala, if you want to go on the trip. All right. And the church barbecue. Is that? No, that's 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. That's right. Church barbecue. Sign up for that in 2 weeks. All right. Then we've got it all in. I hope you have a wonderful day, whatever you're all going to be doing, a wonderful week in the Lord. I leave you with this blessing. And now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. And may he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him, all glory to him forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.